This is PodTech.net. I'm Jason Lopez. The buzz over Microsoft's proposed purchase of Yahoo has the what-if frenzy going on in the blogs again. In light of that news, we thought we'd revisit another bold move of Microsoft's from last October, which seems like an eternity ago, and that's their investment in Facebook. This week, Facebook said it was expanding its reach. No surprise, as it opens new local sites around the world in Spanish, and it plans to do the same in French and German. In a space where the discussion of every new feature and application for Facebook can muddy the waters of what's really going on, sometimes it's refreshing to look at data and facts. So we turn to Forrester senior analyst Jeremiah Ouyang, who studies the social media space. He says Facebook's growth is still astonishing, with data showing somewhere between 100% to 200% growth in registrations.
This is an example of how social networks are becoming very prominent within our culture. For example, we have some stats that show that teens, 15 to 18, two-thirds of them are using social networks every day. And one-third of adults, 18 and over in North America, are using social networks at least once a month. So this is a trend that's continuing to happen. This increased adoption, a couple things are going to happen. Marketers and advertisers will move in wherever the crowds end up emerging from, and they'll start to, you know, serve up their campaigns there. And this is a traditional break from where we've seen a lot of microsites where advertising and marketers used to try to get people to come to their own corporate websites. So now things have kind of shifted over to that. So you'll see this influx of money and marketing movement onto social networks.
Now, if you are running Facebook, is it to capture people using the internet and keeping them on Facebook so that they don't have to go other places to watch videos or to, read blogs or write blogs or even the news?
Sure. Phase one would be to get people to stay on Facebook or MySpace to interact there. But actually, the future will hold that that experience will become distributed to other social networks and blogs out there. Widgets will be the vehicle that will enable that to happen. For example, Gaia Online is a virtual world. They've created a virtual widget that can now sit inside of Bebo, where their target market is, and you can experience that there. In the future, you can expect that widget to be implanted on blogs or even other social networks that a user may use. So the strategy of the future is really to have a distributed way of thinking. You go wherever they want to have their information.
It sounds like, in this sense, a widget is just another form of a page, a widget, a player. I mean, they're all sort of the same kind of materials with which to serve people.
I would agree with that. So before, you know, companies used to want to build a storefront, but now what we're doing is we're seeing the specific counter of products move, you know, to different locations. So it's like there's a lot of little kiosks now in our mall versus one just large store.
What's happening right now with Facebook and Microsoft? What are we learning from that dynamic?
Well, they recently announced a partnership where Microsoft will be helping to fuel their regular advertising, which is their banner ads, and using, you know, the normal IAB format that we're all familiar with. But we're still struggling with how that can actually happen. Monetization on social networks, traditional advertising, really has not been as effective as you would see it on a search engine like Google. Why? The use case is different. People are using social networks to connect with each other. Like, we've done research and data at Forrester and show that people are using it to communicate with each other. They're not using it to hunt for information. So therefore, the paradigm to monetize that is different. Instead, social networks should be thinking about interactions and endorsements and recommendations as a way to generate revenues rather than just advertisements. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to learn from that as we experiment more in 2008.
And let's also talk about some of the politics around this, because some outcries for preventing Google from taking over Facebook, because then they might take over the web. And so what is your take on all of this? I mean, is it real that some pairing could actually give one of the players such a significant advantage that they could significantly hurt the other one?
We can probably expect some large acquisitions to play out this year, but there's going to be a lot of challenges that haven't been, you know, fully vetted out. For example, most of these companies that we're talking about, they're not really experts at mergers and acquisitions, not like Sun or Cisco, where, you know, they've done this many times before. So there's also the the product sets are so similar. There's going to be a lot of yanking and pulling and some programs getting axed. So it's going to take several years for that to happen, let alone the cultural differences that really will hinder a smooth acquisition. Each of those cultures has, you know, a very different approach on how they do business and how they innovate. So this is not something that can be done so easily.
How about another question here, Jeremiah? And that is what we actually know may happen. The internet is just rife with all sorts of predictions on blogs about what will happen, and it seems like that almost becomes the news in and of itself. Can you paint a picture of how, or can you explain how to think about this, how to pull this apart and put this in perspective?
Right now, there's a potential, at least we should be considering, that a recession could occur. And that could impact how marketing budgets and social network budgets and innovation could actually happen. So we actually believe that social networks and social media will be an efficient way for marketers to use the market. These tools have a lot of commodity features. They can be deployed very inexpensively. And they really leverage the word of mouth, so you can get your customers to be doing the work for you. That doesn't mean that it's always going to be done in a very inexpensive way. Brands that have done it incorrectly have had no effect, or even worse, brand backlash. So a lot of companies need to be aware of what's going to happen. This includes the vendors like Facebook and MySpace. They need to, you know, be careful in how they market themselves as well. So the biggest keys to walk away with are understand that the web is going to be distributed. You know, really change your mindset and the way you measure success, that information flies around the web and, you know, collects wherever the different communities in your marketplace are. So that's one of the biggest fundamental changes. Secondly, people need to understand that the power has shifted to the participants, so companies that are holding on too tight to their brand need to let go. You know, example of the Hasbro Scrabulous case. They had a big opportunity to really leverage the success of Scrabulous and Facebook rather than having it pulled down. So there's a few examples of what to expect.
Jeremiah Ouyang is a senior analyst at Forrester Research, focusing on social computing and social media. Technorati reports he's one of the top 1% of bloggers in the world. His blog is at web-strategist.com/blog, as if he needs our referral to get more readers. I'm Jason Lopez for PodTech.net.